Every time someone tweets me that they want A-Rod as manager, I think to myself, why would we do that to ourselves, and why would A-Rod do that to himself?
If Alex Rodriguez is named the manager of the New York Yankees, I don't think I could do the show any longer. I don't think that I can talk about the Yankees twice a week with A-Rod being the freaking manager of men on my team. I don't think I could do it. I think I would go insane.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 194, an emergency episode of the podcast, Scott. We thought we'd be off for an entire week, but the Yankees went and dropped some news on us. Joe Girardi is donezo. He is out.
Yeah, there's no rest for the weary here at Bronx Pinstripe Show. We're on call at all times, even when Joe Girardi is trying to make news in the middle of the World Series by leaving with a disheveled look on his face and everybody reporting about it. I think it's very interesting news because I think a lot of people didn't expect it. I know it was talked about. Obviously, his contract was up, but I think the way it went down, it was probably the biggest surprise for me.
There's so much to unpack with it, from the way it was handled to when this decision was actually made, and then what the Yankees are going to go, what they're going to do going forward. We're going to get into all of it, but you mentioned that they broke it on an off day after game two of the World Series. The last time we saw the Yankees or something related to the Yankees break news was when A-Rod opted out of his contract in 2007, and he got a ton of shit for that. So I feel like the Yankees were trying to, or have tried to, avoid breaking news when things are going on, like the World Series, and they're not in it. So I really do believe that the Yankees were going to announce this after the World Series, except there was so much speculation on social media by a number of different people, conflicting reports by a number of different people. Then you've got the reports that Girardi is in and out of Yankee Stadium on these like hour-long meetings, and like you said, leaving with a disheveled look on his face. There was just so much stuff going on. There was too much smoke. There was obviously a fire. Couldn't ignore it any longer. You couldn't wait another week for the World Series to go over because things would have just gone nuclear.
Yeah, and I mean, A-Rod set the precedent for being a jackass and saying, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. And Major League Baseball basically has to approve, I think, these major announcements and things like that right now. So, I mean, the Yankees obviously talked with the Major League Baseball about this. I'm sure they were fine with it because today is like, you know, the very dead day in the World Series with the travel day. So Major League Baseball is like, yeah, bring it back down to baseball. There's a football game tonight. Let's talk about Joe Girardi not coming back. No problems. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here having to start Joe freaking Flacco tonight because everybody else is screwed on my team. There's a number of things that are going wrong right now.
Oh, you want to go off on a fantasy football tangent in the middle of a Joe Girardi is let go as Yankee manager podcast? Because I can do that if you want to.
No, we'll have time for that later. The very interesting thing to me, like, I think there was a lot of smoke. There's been smoke for a while. I mean, ever since Francesco started talking about this a long time ago, about the potential that Girardi was maybe not going to renew the contract himself. Maybe it was a lot of the speculation, I think, was more on Girardi making family decisions and the Yankees brass, you know, obviously wanting him back. I mean, I felt like that was always an assumption. The Yankees will want him back, but will Joe want to come back? And, you know, we've talked about this, like looking at that, this is such a good job right now with what's happening with the roster and the future of what it looks like at the Yankees for the next, you know, at least 5 years. You'd be crazy not to come back to that if that's your life goal is to manage baseball. Like, this is the team you want to manage.
This is the most attractive job in baseball right now.
Absolutely. So I think the way it went down and how we talked about, and we'll talk about the comments, but you know what it boils down to is that the Yankees didn't want Joe back.
Yep.
And that was where the surprise came for me, because I thought the Yankees were going to offer the contract, because that's kind of what they do. They the obligatory contract comes in because he's done pretty well. It seems like he's overperformed. Maybe that's just us talking about it as fans and the media talking about the rebuild and the overachieve. And, you know, maybe there was a completely different tone set in the front office. Who knows what goes on behind closed doors.
I don't think there's any question that Girardi over outperformed what the Yankees should have been the last few years. Maybe you can say he underperformed in his first few years, although they did win the World Series in 2009, but then they had World Series caliber teams in 10, 11, 12, and they didn't get over the hump. But those rosters in 2013 and 2014, you want to make yourself sick? Go look at some of those lineups with, you had guys like Ichiro in the lineup and Eric Chavez and all these like random ass,
Kevin
Youkilis, Hafner, Travis Hafner, Lyle Overbay, all these random ass players. And Vernon he Wells. Still got the team to like mid 80s. They didn't make the playoffs, but they won 84, 85 games and they were at least in contention for the playoffs in September. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. And then, like you said, this year, he got a team that was supposed to be rebuilding to the ALCS. So he deserves a lot of credit there, too. So I don't think there's a question that he did overachieve. But this seems like the decision was made by Brian Cashman and the Yankees. And now this is Brian Cashman's team. It hasn't been announced that he's coming back, but it's obvious he's coming back. He made the statement today, quote, "I want to thank Joe for his 10 years of hard work and service to the organization. Everything this organization does is done with careful and thoughtful consideration, and we've decided to pursue alternatives for the managerial position." We've decided to pursue alternatives. So it's the Yankees deciding, not Joe. And then Joe came out with quotes later saying that it's with my heavy heart I come to you because the Yankees have decided to not bring me back. So, like you said, this is the Yankees' decision to move on.
Yeah, and that's where the surprise was because, you know, when you look at, and they made it very clear that they didn't make a decision based off of this 1 year, that they look at the body of work, they look at the past, you know, X amount of years, and that's how they make their decision. Hal Steinbrenner was talking about that, that it's not just going to be a, you know, a very rash decision by looking at, you know, an isolated 1 year or a couple of weeks or one decision that was not made in the playoffs. That's not how it's going to go down. It's going to look at the body of work and more of a long-term vision of what Joe Girardi is. And I think, you know, and we've talked about this a number of times during the year, whether it was Girardi or it was somebody else, is that this is a new era of Yankees baseball. They have to have stability at the helm right now. They have to be sure that this is the guy that they want for at least the next 5 years. Because if you're looking at windows of when this team can win, I mean, immediately you're looking at 5 years. Who knows what can happen after that? But I think 5 years is a pretty good target to set for where this team can you know do its probably most damage. So they got to be very comfortable with this is the guy right now with this team moving forward to win championships, not to win 85 games, not to come out and make the playoffs, but to win championships. How do we do that? And obviously it wasn't Joe Girardi.
It's a crucial decision because, as you know, it can go horribly awry. Look at all these teams that have had to change managers after one or two failed seasons. The Yankees have been so lucky. They had Joe Torre for 11 years and then Joe Girardi for 10 years. Yeah, everyone was fire Joe Girardi on Twitter every time he screwed up a pitching change or something like that. But when you consider 10 years, he was pretty good. So this team is expected to win a World Series very soon, if not next year. Now they're bringing in a new manager. That adds so many more complications to a team that is on the rise. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, but can't screw this up right now.
No, it's a huge decision. It's a very, very big decision. You're literally anointing a skipper of your ship, and this ship is ready to go full steam. I mean, ready to go full steam. So you better be very confident that this guy can fit in the clubhouse. This guy can get the attention of the players, and his voice can be heard by his manager, the rest of his coaching staff, and that he also has the young guys and the veterans. He has to have the clubhouse immediately because it's a win now situation. And they're not just winning now because they have a bunch of contracts that are about to expire and some guys are getting older. No. It's win now with a very young team who can continue to win. But the expectations are win now. So this decision, well, I think, and you and I talked about this before we started recording, I believe that Brian Cashman already has a guy picked out in his head. If it's not one guy, it's two guys, but I think it's one guy. I think there's one guy in his head that maybe he's already had discussions with, maybe you know, he knows he can bring them in, but it seems like this is such a big move to do, they would have to have at least one or two guys circled that they know they can bring in.
Yeah, they have a short list.
And feel comfortable with.
He's got a short list of guys. I think, though, don't you agree that this decision was made up a long time ago, probably even before the playoffs, maybe even some point earlier this season, that Girardi would not continue managing this team in 2018?
Yeah, I think it was you know, I think what it came down to, and there's been all these rumors about a rift potentially between Cashman and Joe Girardi. One, Girardi was there for 10 years. And a lot of things can happen in 10 years. And you look at what the Yankees have done for the past 10 years of his career, it's been very up and down and very, very just different. Like we talked about the guys on that roster. And then you have a very young team now. And then what Girardi had to manage as far as personalities and salaries and all this other stuff. So there, you've run the gamut. So I can imagine how a relationship like that can be strained over that time and the tumultuous, status of the roster. I think Brian Cashman had that decision. He knows that he's going to go with his guy. I think he's getting a lot more of the reins. We've talked about that with players bringing him in, and I think it's kind of carrying over to the manager.
Maybe rift isn't the right word, but difference of philosophy. Tension. I think they just have different visions for where their team... Cashman has a clear vision for where this team is going, and I don't think Girardi was on board with that. And yeah, maybe that caused tension, but I think it stemmed because Cashman is going one way and Girardi is going another way. And if Steinbrenners are choosing between Girardi and Cashman, the option is clear. It's Cashman. He's done... He is running this team at this point.
I don't understand, though, what direction Girardi could have said that he wanted to go in besides what Cashman's done. Cashman gave him a team that is ready to go and win right now. So I don't know about direction. I think it's more style.
Control. I think that Cashman wants to be able to control a lot more that goes on the field. And you're not going to control Joe Girardi. He's been a manager, your manager for a decade. He's won a World Series. He's a big name. He is near the top in salary of managers for baseball. You're not going to control him. You bring in somebody else from the minor leagues. We'll talk about all the names they're speculating, but you bring in somebody else who you can sort of play like a puppet a little bit more. I think that's what Cashman is looking for.
I don't think I agree with that. I think it's more of a decision on how they act with these young guys. And I think, like you just mentioned, how Girardi's a lot more uptight and so regimented. I mean, the dude eats the same breakfast. What is it, like
ham and
six
eggs.
Egg whites and
ham and eggs
and ham and dry toast or
breakfast
something like that,
champions.
Right? Every single day. Yeah. I mean, this guy literally.
I eat the same thing for breakfast every day too.
So do I. It's a fiber bar though. This guy like does this whole long thing. He's very regimented in everything he does. It's not just breakfast. That's just an example.
Yes.
Obviously, we know damn well he's regimented because he goes to a freaking binder, looks up the chapter and page, and that's his decision. And it's based on numbers. It's based on his experience. It's not based on what he sees on the field. And that was one of my biggest gripes with him.
But funny, I don't think that's one of the biggest gripes that Cashman and ownership has with him.
No, I do. I think that is part of it. I think it's part of, because of the way that book operates and the way that Joe operates with his brain, he doesn't have the greatest relationship with the players, I don't think. And it's because of that. It's because if you're a player playing for Joe Girardi and you're playing your ass off and you're doing all these things on the field, but, you're going up against a lefty that has better numbers, that you have worse numbers against another guy that's been playing like dog shit and he gets the start. Like things like that can really frustrate people.
Totally.
And I think when you're as a player, that'll drive you nuts. And I think those types of situations like that have definitely driven some kind of a wedge between Girardi and some of the players. Even though on the surface they'll say, "Hey, we got his back." There's specific players.
I think maybe in those types of decisions that you just described, but as far as matchup decisions, I think that an analytical approach, a quote binder approach, is exactly the way that Cashman wants to take this thing. And there's been a lot of people today. I feel like once it was officially announced that Girardi's not coming back, a number of people came out of the woodworks sort of bashing Girardi. Francesa was talking about on air how there was a small group of players in that locker room that did not like Girardi. He mentioned Chapman and Gary Sanchez by name. I think it's interesting that Gary Sanchez was named in there. Obviously, the whole catcher dynamic, and he was benched for his lack of ability to block balls earlier this season. Girardi clearly wasn't able to connect with Sanchez on a certain level. And it's just interesting that he's a catcher. Girardi was a catcher. He also didn't connect with Posada, who was a catcher. So maybe he sees himself in these players, and that's why he can't make these connections. But people were saying, oh, well, if one of the new core players doesn't like you, then you're out. No questions asked. But I think it's unrealistic to think that all 25 players are going to love their manager. There's always going to be guys who aren't aren't on board with the manager. It's just reality.
Yeah, well, I think it's way too early for these guys to be making decisions about personnel as far as manager. Obviously, Brian Cashman is going to be the guy that has the, you know, the ear of the clubhouse. He's going to listen to what people are saying. He's going to hear, the bat boy talking about conversations that have happened between Sanchez and Girardi or Sanchez and some other guy. They're going to be little whispers that are said, and Cashman's going to listen to all these things. And I think that's was part of the decision. I don't think it was one thing.
No,
I don't think it was one thing by any means. I think it was a multitude of things. And the other thing is, sometimes, after 10 years, voices can get stale.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look at something for so long, you're like, oh, I'm sick of looking at this. Let's change it up for change it up's sake.
That's why it's amazing. It's amazing that Mike Socha has been in Anaheim for almost 20 years at this point.
Yeah, it's a little ludicrous, honestly, especially with the different difference of players, how different they are today than where they were 20 years ago. I just feel like at some point you got to make a change for no reason, but change sake.
Right.
And I with this type of, you had to do it now. Now is the time.
Yeah.
Obviously, the contract worked out in the sense that the team was ready to peak or get ready to get going. But now is the time for sure.
Right.
The other thing we haven't talked about. Sorry to cut you off. The other thing that we haven't really talked about, I haven't really heard too many people talk about it, but the two people that didn't like him, Latin players. I don't know if there's something that you're looking at where there's a lot more Latin players coming up. There's going to be a lot more of a presence with those guys. They're just the way that they play baseball in Dominican Republic, in Venezuela, in Puerto Rico, they're a lot more loose. They have a lot more fun. You saw a lot of that in the team this year. Maybe they're looking for a guy that is more that can have a better relationship with all of the players, no matter where they're from or the style of play that they have. Girardi's very cut and dry, one style.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe a coincidence that those two players, Chapman and Sanchez, that I mentioned, are both Latin players, because Gary Sanchez got benched because he couldn't block a ball, and then Chapman got taken out of the closer role because he stunk. So if they were white players or black players instead of Latin players, I think Girardi would have made the same decision.
I think it's more to the style of play. I think there's a different style of play when you look at in the Caribbean and a lot of those countries than if you see guys coming up in the U.S. I just think the styles are different. And a manager like Girardi is so, cut and dry on things that he doesn't allow himself to, open up to more relaxed style of play or more of a jovial style of play. He's just so damn serious all the time.
Yeah.
I could see that being a bone of contention at some point.
I want to get back to the point that I really do think this was a decision that was made long before the playoffs. And there was not one thing that made Cashman say, okay, I got to find a new manager. And I think it's just ironic because had the Yankees lost the ALDS, and the main reason being that Girardi did not challenge that play, I think it would have been so easy for Cashman to just say, we're moving on from Joe Girardi. Nobody would have complained about it because Girardi lost them a playoff series. He had such a crucial error that the Yankees got bounced from the playoffs. Hell, we were on a podcast right after that game. I don't think you said I want to fire Girardi, but I certainly said I want to fire Girardi for it. It turned out the Yankees rallied, the players rallied around Girardi, and they won the series. So that kind of threw a wrench in Cashman's plans. But what would have happened if they made it to the World Series? What would have happened if they won the World Series?
I think that changes everything.
If you win the World Series, you can't let Girardi go, right? Like that.
I don't know how you let him go if you get to the World Series. If you win that Game 7, you're in the World Series. Unless something bad happens, manager, that costed the game that Joe does, or it was just an awful showing, I have a very difficult time saying, you have this new team, you got them literally to the World Series.
Right, but
how
nothing,
is that not the right guy?
Nothing would have changed philosophically for Cashman. He would have still wanted to take the team in a different direction, whether they won that Game 7 in Houston or lost it.
But he's stuck at that point.
He's stuck.
It's obviously
at that point,
working.
So he would be making the decision. He would be making a decision for the wrong reasons.
Well, no, because it's working. So obviously, maybe at that point, he would question his own decisions and why he was deciding.
So now
to get
it's just one
him.
Game. It's one little old Game 7. I mean,
that's a big game. Yes, absolutely. That's a big game. There's a lot of things that led up to that. But yeah, that absolutely one game can determine, whether you stay or go. The way that you play that Game 7, that's happened over the course of sports forever. I mean, you could be fired or promoted within one game.
Sure.
Within one small decision.
Yeah, plenty of managers have got fired. Grady Little got fired over 2003 ALCS game, leaving Pedro in. But yeah. But the Yankees didn't have an issue in those last two games that the manager cost them games. They just played like crap, and that's why they lost. So, I mean, now we're getting down to some really crazy speculation. There's tons of other stuff to talk about. But as far as Girardi's success as Yankees manager, I think he was a successful manager. He was the winningest manager between 2008 and 2017. Won 910 games and lost 710. So he's 200 games over 500, 91 wins average season. One World Series, obviously. He is fourth active among managers for playoff victories. So there's a lot of good stuff as far as his resume goes. He got a lot of crap over the 10 years. We gave him a lot of crap on this podcast over the last 2.5-3 years. I always thought, though, that Girardi was much better than fans gave him credit for, but not as good as like baseball analysts gave him credit for.
I just don't think fans are going to give anybody any credit unless they win. If they win, they'll get credit. If they don't, they'll complain. That's just what happens.
Yeah, that's the nature
so,
of it.
So I don't think that like looking at the way fans react to any manager, because it's going to be the same. You know, honestly, it's going to be the same. Because if this next guy comes out of the gate and does anything remotely questionable, oh, well, Girardi wouldn't have done that.
Oh, yeah, he's screwed.
Oh, well, it's going to be just, you know, complaining, complaining, complaining. That's just the nature of the beast.
They lose opening day, this guy's going to get trashed.
But I do think that, I don't know. He's just, to me, Girardi is just so freaking standard as far as the way he manages. I'm not upset by the way that this has gone down. Honestly, like I like change, especially in this particular instance. I think it's a good idea to shake something up like this. I mean, I've seen Joe Girardi for 10 years. I know what he is. I'm not sure if I want a young, fun, good team under such a strict guy that is not, not willing to give a little on certain things, because he's just not. And I think that's one of the bigger things, is that he has such you know, cemented decisions already before he even starts a game. Things are done in his head. And to me, that's a big problem in today's baseball.
But he made it to the ALCS.
He did.
So his methods, criticize them all you want. And I agree with everything you just said. I'm sort of fall in the middle. If they brought Girardi back, I would have been fine with it. And if they let him go, I'm fine with it now. Right. But his decisions, like you said, all of that stuff got them to game 7 of the ALCS.
Yeah. For better or for worse, they did. They got him.
Now, maybe it's not a long-term success for this team. Obviously, Cashman in the front office knows that team better than anyone else. So they might assess the situation and say, we need somebody who can better connect with these players if we want to have a dynasty, which is what they're trying to do. And fine. If they made that decision, fine.
Exactly. That's the thing. They're not looking at making the ALCS for the team. They're not, you know, looking at the just this year. They're looking at how do we win championships and multiple championships. I don't know. Maybe they looked at Aaron Judge's cold streak in the second half and were like, that was a little too long. Why didn't Joe do something more about that? Why didn't he try to nip that in the butt? Why did it go on as long as he did? Why was he in the top of the order the entire time? Maybe they're taking into consideration that that Joe keeps his veterans in the exact same slot every single time, no matter what. I don't know what the hell they're looking at, but what they are looking at for sure is the next 5 years. And obviously it didn't fit. It was a square peg in a round hole. Brian Cashman and Joe Girardi, it seems like, are two very regimented guys. It even seems like Cashman's a very regimented guy.
Yeah, I bet he has the same thing for breakfast every day too.
He probably does. He probably does. And if those are not meshing up well, then you're going to have tension and just conflict.
I think it was more about where they wanted to take the team than what Girardi did or didn't do. Because people say all you want about Girardi's decisions, and like, but he made a lot of good decisions. He made some bad decisions, and we criticize him for it, but he also made a lot of good decisions. So I don't think it was necessarily what happened in the past. It was what they want to do in the future. So they didn't like his style for the future of this team. That's absolutely fine. And for everyone who has criticized Girardi over the years and wanted him fired, and then people say, well, who's better to manage this team? We don't know. You don't need to know who's going to be the next manager to say you want the current manager fired. I think it's an okay take as a fan to say, I don't like the current manager. I'm looking at what he's doing. I don't want him managing my team, but I don't know who's going to be the next guy. It's like saying, if someone says, do you want to go get Chinese food tonight? No, I don't. Well, what do you want? I don't know. You can still know you don't want Chinese food.
Yeah, interesting analogy. The It's true. As a fan, you're looking at this like, the what's in front of me, I'm just not liking. I'm just sick of seeing it, and give me something else. Sometimes it's anything. Sometimes it's just a change. I just want something different. And if that's the case, then fine. I mean, that's how a lot of people, I think, feel. I think that as a general manager, and you're looking at the front office, though, you better damn well know what you're doing before you get rid of a guy like Joe Girardi.
Right.
You better damn well know that you want pizza instead of Chinese food, and that shit better be on the way.
Yeah, pizza better be available.
You better know when it came out of the oven, who the delivery driver is, and make sure he's got gas in that car. Because if you're not, then everybody at your house is going to starve and die. And that's exactly what we got. If we're going to go analogies, let's get crazy.
There's plenty of guys still out there ready. Okay, you want to get into some speculation now? You ready for it? Because
yes.
The question is, now that Girardi's gone, who's going to be the manager? And until that next guy is hired, which I expect it to be soon after the World Series, I expect it to be within the week after the World Series. That's going to be the question. Who's it going to be?
That is the question. That is the question on everybody's mind. And I have a guy that I know who I want. I think it makes a ton of sense. We're looking at these candidates. We can run down the candidate list.
Real quick, if we had an ad for this episode, this would be a perfect time for it. Everyone on the edge of their seat waiting for your answer.
It's true. We didn't sell it. We didn't sell this episode.
It was an unplanned episode.
So the current list of rumored guys, and if you go to BronxPinstripes.com, we're putting up profiles on each one of these guys. So you can learn more about them. The guys that we have rumored: Rob Thompson, Tony Pena, Joe Espada, Larry Rothschild, Willie Randolph, Kevin Long, Al Padrique. All those guys are basically within the system of some sorts. Kevin Long, obviously not there anymore. Willie Randolph, not there right now, but he's around the system. He's been around the system for a while. Other names,
one other guy,
Brad Ausmus.
Yeah. Pete.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Pete Mackinnon, who's was a scout under Cashman and managed the Phillies in 15. Another guy, Yankee system. Brad Ausmus, and then dark horses, which I have not heard the rumors on this guy, is Jason Giambi. That would be freaking interesting. And then Raul Ibanez.
Yeah, something about Jason Giambi. If Cashman wants somebody who's analytically focused, Jason Giambi seems like too much of a meathead to come in and manage this team by a binder or by a database.
Why isn't A-Rod on this list?
I didn't want to put A-Rod on the list, because every time someone tweets me that they want A-Rod as manager, I think to myself, why would we do that to ourselves, and why would A-Rod do that to himself?
Yo, let's get something straight. If Alex Rodriguez is named the manager of the New York Yankees, I don't think I could do the show any longer. I don't think that I can talk about the Yankees twice a week with A-Rod being the freaking manager of men on my team. I don't think I could do it. I think I would go insane.
It gets tweeted probably 10 times a minute the last couple days, and I am only positive that 20% of them are sarcastic. I think like 80% of them are serious, which is really scary.
Anyway, the guy I want for the job, the guy I think that has a very high chance of getting this job, because I do believe Cashman already has this guy groomed and ready to go. All right, my guy is Al Padrique. We have talked about him as, a long time ago when we looked at Girardi's potential either leaving or not leaving on an earlier episode. Al Padrique has the pedigree within the Yankees organization. He started in 2012 with the Charleston, the River Dogs, and has literally worked himself up from Charleston to Tampa to Trenton to Scranton, and is now 2016, 2017. Back-to-back and belly-to-belly manager, International League Manager of the Year. He knows everybody on this team. He has the respect of everybody on this team. He has won in Scranton with these guys. Who did we have on that said they loved Padrique? Was it Tyler Wade?
I don't know if it was a player. It was when we talked to, was it Donnie
it
Collins?
Was too-
when we talked to Donnie Collins from Scranton, and they were just praising Padrique, I think.
Yeah, it was him and Shane Hannigan we had on, and I think it was a player too. I swear there was a player talking about it. I thought it was Tyler Wade.
Could have been.
Anyway, one of these guys was the talk. Everybody who has mentioned Al Padrique in their sentences about baseball, about the Yankees, has had nothing but glowing things to say. I think it can't be understated how important it is that he has a relationship with every single big name that's rising on this team. I think that's huge.
It could, and he's not too big where, like I said before, Cashman's looking for somebody he can have under his thumb a little bit more. I don't think Al Padrique is a big name at all, so I think that he's not going to have an ego coming in here. If you hire a guy of Joe Girardi's status, you're not going to get that guy to come in here and listen to every word you say, but you could get Padrique to do that, I think, if you're Cashman.
Well, and the other thing about Padrique is that you can tell he has very good relationships with the players, but he's in tune with the way that they play. I saw a quote from him earlier talking about the numbers, because that's been brought up that Cashman wants somebody who's a little bit more analytical, even though I think Girardi was, which I just don't understand the speculation on that. That he wants someone looking at the numbers, but also the way that he can kind of manage these guys and their style. And he's older. I think he's, 3 or 4 years older than Girardi. But to me, he's more of a player's manager in the sense that he can have good relationships with these guys, you know, talk to them on more of a personal level. If something is going on, he can have a conversation with them and is a trusted source, almost like a trusted father rather than like the strict father who's telling you to go to bed and do your chores or you're not going to have any dessert. He's the guy that's like, okay, let's have dessert and let's go throw the ball afterwards. Like he's the guy that they like. And I don't know, when you're looking at this team and these guys, I feel like that's what they need.
One of the biggest criticisms that the reason the Yankees are moving on from Girardi is his poor communication with players, and that they're looking for somebody to come in and manage the personalities and the clubhouse better than Girardi did. Girardi, apparently, when he was in season, he was like a general. He was so focused that you couldn't even talk to him. He had poor communication, wouldn't tell players if they're playing or not in the right way. He would do a lot of things. I know Teixeira was on with Michael Kay today talking about how sometimes Girardi was just too intense, and that for this young team, it's probably not the right type of manager. So if Padrique, like you said, has all these relationships with these kids, can better manage their personalities, then fine. I think he's a very good option if they're going to stay in-house. We don't know if they're going to stay in-house, though. And if they're not going to stay in-house, you're probably looking at cleaning house, right? Because if you hire an outside manager, they're going to want new bench coach, new hitting coach, new first base, third base, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and well, it's interesting because if that's the case, which even as we're talking about it, I'm like, that's there's no way they're going to do that. As we're talking about it, just kind of like putting this out there, to me, it's going to be in-house. It just makes so much more sense. I mean, these guys have talked about how a lot of the coaching staff that they do like, that they're – Rob Thompson, how long has he been here? For 20-some years? 25 years? 26 years? He's been with the organization for a long time. It's not like they could just go and just get rid of everybody. I don't think they need to. I think Larry Rothschild did a good job this year. I think they can keep a guy like him. If you go in-house – with either someone who's currently on the staff, like a Tony Pena, or a Rob Thompson, those are the two probably guys that are currently there that have been the most rumored. Then you don't have to change as much, but it's more of a top level voice,
yeah.
That's going to get to these guys. I don't know.
I think totally cleaning house could be potentially dangerous for next season.
I think so too. I think that's too much of a risk.
You could take a huge step back if you got new everything in there. You could take a big step back, because then it's a learning curve at the beginning of the season. Not just
processes will be different. Everything will be different.
So I think changing managers, it's a big risk. We haven't gone through it a lot. It's a risk. You're going to go through bumps with a new manager. I think it's unrealistic to think everything's going to go smoothly. I mean, you're not going to always win the World Series in your first year like Joe Torre.
Right. And he came out of complete obscurity. Also, I mean, he was out of nowhere.
Yeah, let's also understand that Girardi was not out of house. He was a bench coach with Torre. So he was in house in 2008. Yeah, maybe he was managing the Marlins prior to that. But he was as much of an inner organizational guy as you could find at that point.
Well, yeah, not to mention he played for the organization, so they knew him very well. They knew what they were getting with Joe Girardi. It wasn't anything. I think Joe Torre is the biggest one. When you look at him, you're like, well, Steinbrenner went out and got him, and it pretty much came out of
nowhere.
Pretty
sure he just found him on the street.
Yeah, and it really just worked out very well. But the guy before that, one of the examples that I was looking at is Buck Showalter. Buck Showalter came up through the Yankees organization. He was coaching in Oneonta and in Fort Lauderdale. So he came up with the Yankees, and it was that time. He was Gene Stickmichael's guy, brought him up. He had his back the entire time. That's another thing that's an interesting parallel with these teams. We've been looking at the 96 team, 95 team, and what's going on now, and you've been seeing the Gene Michaels stamp all over this. Well, Brian Cashman was heavily influenced by Gene Stickmichael, And if he was to do something very similar to that, where Buck Showalter, I think Buck Showalter was at single A, then double A. That's again going back to the Patrique. If you're looking at history repeating itself, Patrique is the guy. He's gonna come up and manage the team. That's the guy that makes a lot of sense. And the way that Stick Michael would have done something if Cashman is looking at that, kind of looking at that blueprint, it's gonna be high on that list. But the more we're talking about it, I'm almost I would be shocked if it was somebody outside the organization.
I'm with you. Jack Curry was also tweeting today that the new manager will be someone Cashman has worked with. He'll be heavily influenced by the front office, and he won't be making $4 million a year. So Al Padrique fits all those three check marks.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I think Rob Thompson hits the mark too. I don't really know as much about Thompson as a personality.
All we know is that everyone loves him. Everyone who's ever said anything about Rob Thompson loves him.
Everybody who's older, have we heard anything from the younger players about how they like Rob Thompson?
No, but we haven't really heard anything from the younger players on any of the coaches. No, they haven't said anything about that stuff.
We know how they feel about Padrique. That's all I know.
That's true. Yeah. But here's the thing with Padrique. He's coming from the minor leagues right now. No one gives a crap what happens in the minor leagues. So he'll be going to the Yankees, the most intense fan base, the most intense media market, on a team with expectations to win now. It's not an easy job. Can Padrique handle that? That, I think, is as much of a question for Cashman as anything, is can the guy handle New York? One of the things I saw someone tweeting, one of the baseball writers tweeting, is that the last time they were going through a managerial process in 2008, they had each of the top candidates do a media session, and they evaluated how they did the media session to see if they could handle it. So handling the New York media is as much of a job requirement as managing a bullpen if you're the Yankees manager.
No doubt about it. I think all of that stuff has to be considered. So not that, like you said before, we have no idea who the next guy is. Brian Cashman is the only one who knows. If he knows, I do believe that he knows. My speculation, my guess is that he knows damn well who this person is. And whether he's told anybody or not, I don't know. But the way it looks, getting rid of Girardi right now, in the time that happened, because a couple of manager positions have already been filled, which is interesting. People were talking about John Farrell too, by the way. I swear to God, if that happens.
He's horrible. People in Boston hated John Farrell. He fell ass backwards into a World Series in 2013 and then finished last place pretty much the other years, and then underachieved the last 2 years with the Red Sox getting bounced from the playoffs. He sucks.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with John
Farrell. He also banged one of the Nesson reporters.
Okay. Good for him.
It caused a lot of controversy. Maybe it was CSN. I can't remember. Just back to my Boston days, just hearing about all this crap.
He's just a guy I don't think they're going to consider. It just doesn't seem like a fit in any possible way. The other guys that we're talking about here, I think that Kevin Long is a guy that was with the Yankees for a while. Joe Espada has been with them for a good amount of time.
I can't handle Joe Espada. I can't handle three Joes in a row. It's too confusing.
Yeah, that is confusing, although it is on trend, so maybe that's something. Larry Rothschild, I just can't see it. Willie Randolph is an interesting name to me because I just think he got screwed after his Mets tenure. I think that for whatever reason, he's been practically blackballed from this league, but he still has a lot of ties with the Yankees. He's still around the organization quite a bit.
He's been out of the game for a while. I'm not sure if he has been. Like you said at the beginning, that this guy is going to come in for five. Like, this is a long haul type manager. You're going to be managing a young team. This isn't a patchwork job, so Willie Randolph's not going to come in for two or three years and then get out. The next guy they hire is here for the long term, hopefully, if things work out. I'm not sure Randolph is up for that.
See, that's why I just keep going back to Padrique on this, because that's a guy that really, you're talking about pressure and expectations and all these things. Well, he's a guy that no one really knows about. He's a guy that is coming up like really excited for this job, like job of a lifetime, let's roll. This is what he's been basically playing for and managing for his entire career. Like, that's a guy that has a fire that wants to win and knows all the players and their intricacies and everything about these players and how they play and what their personalities are like and what they do pre and post game. Like, he knows all of that stuff already. It would be seamless. I mean, we talked about how when the Yankees brought in Marcus Thames as a hitting coach, and that was you know, a potential gap, you know, a gap filler from these young guys to this to the major leagues, to give them somebody they were comfortable with, because he was down there in the farm system working with them on their hitting. I think it's a very similar process. If you have a player who is going to be your guy for the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, and you have a core of those players, and you also have a guy, you know, already that they respond to and that gets them and wins, check mark every box on your freaking list. I mean, unless he just sucks with the media, which it doesn't seem like he does. It seems like he's a very like outgoing, personable guy. I don't know.
The media, the Scranton Tribune Times is not the New York Post.
No, I'm just talking about his demeanor. Just the way he talks. Like, yeah. he's not very rigid. He's a very casual conversation type of guy.
It makes a ton of sense. But that's exactly why I think it might not happen, because it seems like not a lot is making sense with the Yankees in 2017.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are weird.
I thought it was interesting.
I don't know.
I thought it was interesting that before the news even broke, but we knew something, or we could sense something was going to happen with the manager today, either that he's staying or going. I tweeted out a poll from Yankees podcast saying, do you want Joe Girardi to manage the team in 2018? 2,777 people voted, and 76% of people said yes, they want him back. I know it's still a relatively small sample, almost 3,000 people, but 76 is a pretty big margin. So as much as we think fans hated Joe Girardi, still a large majority of them out there wanted him back, and I really do think it's because it's recency bias. They saw him get the team to the ALCS, one win away from the World Series. So he had success with this team. It's tough to change in that scenario.
Yeah, and there was no other solid name attached to a poll like that. So if you're looking at Joe or somebody else, then there's
the devil you know or the devil you don't know.
Exactly, and I think people get very hesitant when they don't know what the unknown is. Scares a lot of people.
But we just have to assume that Cashman's not stupid, which I think we can all assume. And he's not going to hire somebody who's a disaster like Bobby Valentine with the Red Sox in 2012.
We know that Cashman. Look, we put our trust in Cashman for these players, in these trades, in the free agent signings, and all of these things. You and I have been, you know, glowing about Brian Cashman and the job that he has done over the past couple of years. Ever since it seems like he's gotten the reins of this team and really done what he's wanted to do, everything has really, I mean, he's got a golden horseshoe up his ass, basically. He's done, it seems like every move he's made has been the right move. So that being said, I have a lot of confidence in Brian Cashman and the way that he manages this team, the way that he put it together. And I have a lot of confidence in him to bring in a guy that will do an effective job. And I don't think he's going to rock the boat too much. I think that's unlike what he does.
But a new hurdle for this new manager is that this team had success this year with Joe Girardi. So now that we've got that comparison going, if this guy doesn't get the team to the ALCS or further, then that comparison will be made. I think it's just an unfortunate reality.
Buck Showalter made the ALDS in 95.
Yeah, Torrey won the World Series.
They had a run, yep, and then he got booted, and then Torrey won the World Series. So because the guy has success before that, a lot of times you could plug and play another guy because the team is that good.
And sure.
I think he's got a fail-safe because of that. And then I also think he's going to bring in a guy that's more easy managed.
Well, you could look at it both ways. I honestly think Cashman knew that he was moving on from Girardi before the playoffs started. And I really do think once they made it to the ALCS, he was like, crap, now this is going to be a really tough sell.
Yeah, probably. It's not far-fetched. I would lean to that side as well. I think Cashman has a solid plan of what he's going to be doing well in advance of when he does it.
Yeah, and that's why I think you saw Joe Girardi get so emotional during the playoffs, because I think he saw the writing on the wall. I think when he was talking about how he's going to have to talk with his family to see what he wants to do, I think that was all BS. I think that he was laying the groundwork for if he was not coming back, which he sensed was going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, that's been speculation since, the first I heard it was Francesa months ago talking about how there was, you know, the first time in a long time you're hearing whispers of potentially Girardi not 100% sure if he's coming back. And that was the Girardi thing. So you're right. He could have set the groundwork thinking like, okay, I'm going to break up with you before
you break up with me. Yeah. Type deal.
Yeah. It's like Steph Curry, you're not invited to the White House any longer.
All right, let's give Girardi a send-off before. We can't end on something negative on Girardi. So what are some of your fonder memories of Girardi over the years?
Oh, boy. I think the one that stands out is in Fenway getting ejected after A-Rod was hit by Ryan Dempster.
Yeah.
And how he just went completely apeshit. The one thing about Girardi that I think is more of a, rather than a specific, I think that's one that stands out, but I think there's an overwhelming trend to the parts that I like about Girardi. Is you could tell that he had a lot of heart, and he definitely had his guys back. Whether he showed it in the right way, whether it translated to the relationships with those guys, that's up in the air, and those guys will have to comment on that. But I always believe that his intentions, his heart, his dedication, all those things were in the right place. And he just did things the way that he thought they were supposed to be done. And that's fine, because you know what? You have your convictions. You go to battle with your convictions and you either succeed or you don't. And I think he stayed with his convictions and the way he does something for 10 years. And I give him a lot of credit for that, because he managed the way he does and he had a lot of success doing it that way. So, I think he's a good man. Everything I've heard is that he's an absolutely good man. He always would do those shirts before the games for the charity. He would take a picture, put it on social media. So there's a lot of really good components of Girardi that I think are that need to be his legacy beyond this. The wild nonsense at the end of the career. That's always usually wild before someone goes away.
But for him, he's kind of ending on a high note in a way. I think look back at it in a few years, we're going to say, "Wow, Girardi really overachieved with that team at the end." And he won a World
Series.
More
talking about the ALDS debacle.
Sure, sure.
Thankfully that wasn't the last thing.
I think he always had his players' backs, and he also never aired them out in the media, which I think some managers do, maybe either on purpose or by accident. Girardi always took the fall for his players.
No, that's true. He was the you compared him to a general. I think that's a very good comparison, because he's the guy. He would fall on swords. He would jump on these situations and take the attention off of them.
And it wore on him. If you look at pictures, before and after pictures, people were putting those out on social media today. It's like the before and after pictures of Obama in the presidency. Joe Girardi in 10 years, aged 50 years.
There's part of me that feels badly for the position that he was in with the aging veterans at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was put in a bad position.
Definitely.
And he had to manage a bunch of guys that were just not very good anymore, that were getting paid way too much money, and he was in a difficult spot. And I guarantee the tension between Girardi and Cashman started at that point, when these veteran guys, then Girardi didn't want to play them or wanted to change some things up, and Cashman's like, no, or whatever the tension was. There was tension there.
How do you move Derek Jeter out of shortstop or out of the lineup? It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's an impossible task he was set to have Jeter, Mariano, Pettit, Posada all going out on farewell tours, not to mention A-Rod and the circus he brought, and then the other high-priced veterans like Teixeira, who were declining as well towards the end. Really tough job. I know everyone's saying, well, poor baby had to manage $200 million and he could only win one World Series. Let's face it, after 2012, the roster was crap. And
yeah,
he had a lot of stuff to deal with.
Well, I don't think he was the right guy to manage those personalities. You saw the way that Joe Torre did it. Joe Torre was a lot more laid back and just kind of like did a lot of things behind closed doors, and just had that more relaxed personality, I think, to handle a lot more bigger personalities. And Girardi just seems like, if it's not your way, it's the highway. And if that's not okay with you, then we have an issue. And I think a lot of the guys took exception to that. Probably the older veterans too.
Wherever he goes, I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to get a job. If he wants to manage, he's going to get a job. People are speculating the Nationals. I think wherever he goes, he'll be a good manager, because he was a good manager with the Yankees.
I mean, the Nationals seems like a perfect job for him.
Yeah, but apparently their ownership is cheap as hell. And Girardi
they're probably the richest in baseball too, which is ridiculous.
Right, but Girardi's going to want $5 million, which matches the top managers in baseball. And I don't know if they're going to pay him that.
Yeah, I've heard the same things. At some point, if the Nationals they look at their roster, they're like, okay, we got to win now.
I mean, they're idiots for bringing in Bruce Bochy. Dusty Baker.
Dusty
I
Baker.
I was reading Bruce Bochy on the notes here, because he's one of the top paid managers. Dusty Baker stinks. He hasn't won. I don't think he's ever won a playoff series. I think one of them with the Cubs, and then he got bounced. So I think that we're stupid for doing that. I think that Girardi could go in there and sort of like a drill sergeant, get a team over the hump, and then be out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I have a feeling he's going to take a year off, but and go do some watching of high school baseball and maybe some stuff on Fox or whatever. Maybe he'll be sitting next to A-Rod next year.
A-Rod, Big Poppy, Keith Hernandez, Frank Thomas, and
Joe Girardi.
Joe Girardi. Wow.
The drill sergeant.
The studio is just getting wider.
My feeling on that. So at the end of this, to wrap this up, what are your feelings moving forward? Are you happy that we're moving to a new manager? I know you said you were kind of iffy, but make yes or no. Are you happy that we're moving to a new manager? Does that excite you?
Well, it certainly excites me just because it's so much unknown. And anytime you have unknown, that's exciting. And now it's going to make this offseason a lot more, as if the offseason wasn't going to be fun enough. We've got so much material to talk about at this point. We're going to have a podcast when the new manager is hired after his first press conference. The voicemail line is going to be lighting this guy up. So as far as the podcast and my entertainment over the next few months goes, yeah, I'm happy about it. I'm going to wait and see how this new guy can what his philosophy is on bullpen warm-up pitches before I make a decision there.
Yeah, maybe we can enter some suggestions. Is there maybe he'll have a suggestion box to the media and blogs? Maybe he'll wide open to podcasts.
Right,
be able to come on and do a weekly spot.
Right, maybe that'll be in. It's not just a media day; it's also a podcast.
Yeah,
send him to the wolves of a podcast and maybe we'll open up the voicemail line to him.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
To answer your question, I think it was shocking at first, but I think shocking in the sense that the Yankees are actually doing this because they haven't done it in a while. I think I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat. I'm surprised how it went down. I'm definitely surprised how it went down. I thought it was going to be more of a Girardi decision than a Cashman decision.
Me too.
So that was interesting to me.
And I can be happy. I'm excited. We can be happy about it, but still not think Joe Girardi is a bad manager, because neither of us do. He just might not be the right manager for the Yankees, and that's fine. But he's still a good manager, and I think he deserves more credit for his 10 years than he gets.
Okay. The other thing about that is that I don't even know if he's not the right manager for the job. You know what I mean? Like that's
well,
one.
Well, now you're going back on everything.
No. I'm saying, like, going and saying that is almost like saying he's not the right guy for this. He's not the right guy that Cashman thinks at this point.
Sure. And
that's
Cashman.
Something totally. And we're trusting Cashman. That's it. And that's why I'm excited, because what Cashman does is he's brought a level of excitement to this team because of the players he's brought in. And I don't think it's going to stop. I think new things are exciting. I think we're going to have a new shiny object to look at and analyze and watch trends and see what he does. And all this is good. And if it, for no other reason, not that Joe Girardi was a bad manager, but maybe they just needed to mix it up. Maybe they just needed a little bit of a change for these young guys to get their guy behind them and go forward.
Sure.
Maybe that's it. And I like it. I'm in.
And if given the choice between Girardi and Cashman, you and I and everyone else in their right mind would pick Cashman.
I want Cashman.
Right. All right, guys.
And Al Padrique. Al Padrique, if you're listening to this, call us. We got your back. Well, I got your back.
Thanks, guys, for tuning into the podcast. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. We are well over 600 at this point, which is awesome to see. Obviously, 700 is the next milestone, so let's hit 700. You guys have been awesome. Every time we ask, you guys deliver. Also, submit mailbag questions for Monday's show. We're still planning to do the weekly shows on Mondays. Obviously, if there's breaking news, like the Yankees moving on from Joe Girardi, or if they hire somebody, we'll jump in with a podcast. But we plan on doing mailbags on those weekly shows, and it's going to be a big part of the show. So really come through with those mailbags. You can submit them at bronxpinstripes.com/podcast. I got to imagine there's a lot of hot takes out there, a lot of questions with this manager change. So I'm looking forward to those. And you can also tweet us at Yankees Podcast, at Andrew_Rotondi, and at Scott Reinen. Anything else you want to say, Scott, before we get out of here?
I have nothing else to say.
Beautiful. Talk to you guys.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.